flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
I was working. Okay. All right. It's on me. No, it's the opposite of what I should do right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show. Start.
Hey, you know, I mean, I don't know what you were working on, because, you know, work's like in here. I mean, you know, there's
I have many works. I have many works to work upon.
By the way, you're welcome, because I've already done my job like tenfold by getting you to a certain level to where your voice is fine. And you're welcome.
Fine's a...
No. Your voice is fine because I got you worked up, got the adrenaline going, got you into the morning because you weren't quite here yet, and I got you there. So, again, you're welcome.
I mean, I was here.
And there's also something that I don't think you knew. Kansas City beat Buffalo yesterday.
I had heard.
I just want to point that out.
I had heard.
And I have also noticed that you didn't triple Josh Allen this morning. I've noticed that. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. You didn't Chris Collinsworth Josh Allen this morning. I think you may even have called him Josh.
Let's start with, and I have said this a couple of times so far. I don't put last night on Josh Allen. Josh Allen.
You should, to a degree. Look at how forlorn he looked on the, instead of, while he was still in the game, they would show him just sitting on the bench over there, looking like, oh no, here we go again. Instead of getting fired up and getting ready, knowing it's going to be a close game, because it was a close game for everybody the entire season for Kansas City, and knowing he would have a chance, which he did. He had a couple chances. He failed on those chances. It wasn't just the defense. The defense did a great job. But Josh Allen could have, if he was the Josh Allen that I've heard about so much for years now, he would have won the game, and he didn't.
Okay.
And you can do your quarterback or winner stats thing. Doesn't matter. How many times did you see him sitting on the bench with that look on his face?
I mean, a few.
Okay. Is that what a winner does? No.
Get
your butt up and get your team ready to go and win the game.
Hang on. Number one.
He must have believed his own clippings.
Number one, I don't think there's anything that anybody does that ticks me off more than trying to say from a chair that I'm sitting in too. This is how he should have acted.
No, you're sitting in the weak chair. I mean, that thing's gonna die here soon.
Regardless of the status of the chair, There's very little in the world of sports, and I'm not just talking about broadcasters. I'm talking about Billy Joe down at the bar. There's nothing that ticks me off more than when dude sits in a stool, in a chair, standing at a bar, whatever, and says, "This is how that star athlete should have acted."
You know what ticks me off is being told by person after person, "Oh, this is great. This guy, oh man, he's so good. He's so good. Oh, look at this guy. He's good. Oh, look at him. Josh Allen. Look at him. Trying to push this guy on everybody about how great he is. And what has he done? Okay? This bothers me from this standpoint. If you want to be great, show me you're great. He hasn't done that yet.
What bothers you is that the guy who has led you to a pair and is about to lead you to a third is having that there's anybody else in the discussion with him?
No, I'm not. Is he the greatest of all time? So far, not yet. He has to surpass Tom Brady, which he is very close to doing. And I think he tied a record or just passed up Joe Montana and something. Is Travis Kelce the greatest receiver of all time? Probably not, but he just passed up Jerry Rice on some stats. Here's the thing. I'm not elevating any of my guys to a level to where I'm looking up going, "Oh, I worship you." There is no player like that. Is Patrick Holmes transcendent? Maybe. This is what he's done so far, which no one's ever done before, from the beginning that he became a starter to where he is now. I'm not in here all the time going, Patrick Mahomes. All you hear is, Josh Allen. Oh my gosh, Josh Allen. That's all you hear.
Do you understand that has been what has happened around Mahomes for 5 years now?
We're talking about me. Have you heard me do that?
Let me finish. You are mad at the sports-averse, which is fine. But that same sports-averse, I would argue.
I'm not mad, by the way.
Okay, you're emotional, you're heated, whatever word you want to use, passionate, whatever word you want to use, you're that, which is fair. If you think that the exact same veneration hasn't happened around Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what to tell you, because it has. As somebody who is not a Chiefs fan, not a Bills fan, all right, I'm just a fan of good football. The same veneration has happened around Mahomes, but as it was once said, you either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain. The same veneration happened around Brady until years in his career when everybody got sick of Brady and then they started hating on him. That's where Mahomes is. The same veneration. There were very few athletes who reached the top echelon of their sport. I mean, when I say top echelon, I'm talking about in the GOAT conversation. Genuinely in the GOAT conversation. Mahomes has reached that echelon. He is in the conversation of, is he the GOAT? Very few athletes reach that echelon and don't start getting hated on and don't have, well, who's the next guy? Tiger Woods got to that point. And when he was in when I'm talking peak Tiger, the conversation started coming up about other guys like Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy, who can dethrone Tiger, right? Now, I would make the argument that the difference there was Tiger Woods was, with the exception of the old hat golf hands, amongst the new generation of golf fans, of which Tiger created an entire generation of golf fans that would not be fans without Tiger Woods. There was not... a Brady Mahomes in golf. The only people who were anti-Tiger were the like Jack Nicklaus fans from back in the day. And trust me, the Jack Nicklaus fans had everything to say about Tiger Woods that the Mahomes haters have about Mahomes now. Oh, it wouldn't be that way without this, and it's the rules, and it's the tech, and it's the this and the that. When you look at NASCAR, when Jeff Gordon was young and up and coming, it was this guy's the next guy. He's the next Earnhardt. He's the next Petty, whatever. And then Jeff Gordon got into that conversation of the GOAT. And then Jeff Gordon became one of the most hated guys on the circuit, just like that overnight. And everybody started looking at the next generation and goes, who is going to unseat Jeff Gordon? Who's going to be the guy that takes the throne from him? This happens to everyone who gets into the GOAT conversation. And if we just look at performance, you're right, Josh Allen hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. Lamar Jackson hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet, mainly because they keep running into Patrick Mahomes, who keeps beating him.
Well, Lamar ran into Josh Allen.
Or Josh Allen. Or they keep running into each other.
It was also at Buffalo where you cannot get calls if you're not Buffalo.
The conversation has been for a couple of years now that Patrick Mahomes, again, Patrick Mahomes doesn't share a cover of a milestone Madden if he's not in the conversation with Brady. And if, at the time, Patrick, I'll tell you where it is. You know what Patrick Mahomes is now? Patrick Mahomes is where Brady was when Patrick Mahomes was where Josh Allen is. Real, real good. But he just ain't there yet. He just ain't got the Lombardi. Mahomes was venerated when Brady was in his prime, the way that Allen is venerated now that Mahomes is in his prime. You just cycled from having your guy being, this is the guy that's going to get Brady, the guy that's going to unseat him, the guy that's going to be next. We're always looking for next. Welcome to America. We are always looking for next. Even when we have next, when we get next, we start looking at next, right? We're wrestling guys. We got a crop of really good young wrestlers that are up and tough. Bron Breakker right now is fantastic to watch wrestle. And what is, I'm guilty of it too. What did I say like a week ago on Fight Club? You know, WWE's not doing a really good job of bringing up its next crop of superstars. And you were like, yo, Bianca Belair, Bron Breakker. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. I was overlooking the next to go, who's the next? All that's happened is that Brady cycled out and left that Alpha A spot open. Mahomes cycled into it. And America at large started saying, who's next? And the answer we thought was Josh Allen. He's the guy to threaten Mahomes. That's all that's happened. All that's happened is that everybody, when Brady left, everybody shifted up a spot. Lamar Jackson is now where Josh Allen was. The conversation about the conversation isn't vitriolic towards Lamar Jackson because the conversation is never vitriolic about who's next. When Mahomes was next to Brady, he was venerated. And now that Brady left and Mahomes is current, now the conversation is vitriolic to him, and it's positive about Josh Allen. I got news for you. If Patrick Mahomes wins number three and he goes, that's it, I've achieved history, I don't want it anymore, I'm done, I hate football, I'm out. If he left and Josh Allen wins the next Super Bowl, I got news for you. Then Josh Allen would start getting dumped on, and Lamar Jackson would slide into Allen's spot of, oh, he's the dude, he's the guy, he's the future, it's his time, it's not a team thing, it's him thing, blah, 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 blah. All that's happened is that Mahomes slid into Brady's spot as the guy America hates because of how good he is.
Everything you said was awesome, by the way, but I don't believe in Josh Allen. I've never believed in Josh Allen. Has nothing to do with my dislike of Buffalo, which is definitely there. Borderline hatred between them and Denver. If Mahomes were to step away after the Super Bowl, Lamar takes his place, not Josh Allen. He is someone who has been raised above his station to the degree where everyone has piped in and said, yes, yes, he is the next one. He's not. He's not the next one, and he never will be.
Here's all I'll say. The dude has put up numbers. The dude has care. Again, I don't know. My whole argument this year was he played half the season with a rookie wide receiver as his best talent outside of a couple of tight ends, and he ran the squad to success. Then he gets Amari Cooper, who, again, just as a guy who watches football, Amari Cooper is not the best version of Amari Cooper. And then he lost Keon Coleman, so he only had Amari Cooper, and he dragged that team to a 2 seed. And then he just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. I think a lot of other quarterbacks in Buffalo this year probably finished this season more like Cincinnati finished the season than like Buffalo finished the season. I put last night, is a compliment.
No way, because he's not as good a quarterback as Joe Burrow. So, Josh Allen is not as good as Joe Burrow.
Based on the numbers, we fair with that? Because again, if you want to count wins and losses at the QB stat, which you've done all year,
we're talking about numbers.
Talking about numbers?
Talking about numbers.
Then Patrick Mahomes isn't as good as Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow.
Then neither is Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that's what you just said. If it's by the numbers,
in the context
Patrick Mahomes
of what you were talking about, I mean, you can
no, not context.
I said by the numbers, and you said yes. I can be just as loud. It's not going to make you right.
Okay, then by the numbers, which I said by the numbers, and you said yes. Then by the numbers, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes isn't as good as Joe Burrow.
All right, by the numbers, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback
so
in
then,
the NFL.
Okay, so then what's your criteria? What is the criteria I'm to judge the quarterback?
We were just talking about the quarterback position. In the quarterback position, if you go by stats, Joe Burrow is the best in the league right now.
So he's better than Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, as long as you're willing to say that.
So? I'm not putting Patrick Mahomes is not the Chiefs.
Then,
if anyone is the Chiefs, it's Andy Reid.
Then
it's not Patrick Mahomes.
Now we've reached our common ground. If it is numbers, Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes. But if that is the case, then you also have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge that wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Because Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes, but he doesn't have the wins to back it up. He's better than Josh Allen, but he doesn't have the wins to back it up.
It doesn't matter what I acknowledge or don't acknowledge. The world of sports has decided it is the quarterback wins and loses. That's what you can keep saying what you say, but it doesn't change what the mass mind thinks. The quarterback is only as good as wins and losses. And right now, Josh Allen can win during the regular season. He cannot beat Patrick Mahomes.
I agree with that. But I would
and there's
also
only been one quarterback who can. Now, as far as the AFC goes, and that's Joe Burrow. If you want to go back to the Super Bowl that Kansas City lost, they lost because they lost both their tackles. Injuries are a part of football. So they lost because they lost. But as far as that goes, there's only one quarterback in the AFC who can beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs and beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, and that's been Joe Burrow.
I don't disagree. And you said a second ago.
Yeah, I know Tom Brady did it back in the day, but Tom Brady's in the booth. Not a bad call either. You know? It's better than what I heard yesterday. Shut up, Tony. Man, I wish Tony would go away. This wasn't me. This was someone else in my house.
Oh, I know exactly who it was.
Yeah, yeah. Because Romo is so bad.
Nah, I'll take Romo over Brady 100 out of 100
times.
You
know what?
But
I won't. I'll take Brady over Romo any day in the booth.
So, to circle back,
I'll take Greg Olson over both of them.
To circle back to something you said during the take there, because you have hit on the one thing I think that we in this conversation have common ground on, and that one thing is it's Andy Reid. And frankly, I'm going to elevate him because this is a dude who has been crapped on by the league for many years. It's Steve Spags. Steve Spags should have gotten the MVP trophy last night. I mean, at least an MV. We should create an MVC trophy, and it should have gone to Spags last night because Spags at the controls disrupted everything. Now, I'm also going to go with an LVC award, the least valuable coach, and give it to everyone wearing a headset for the Buffalo Bills. You got James Cook over here who's having a great game. James Cook kept Buffalo in the game earlier. If it wasn't for James
Cook. By the way, you were right about James Cook. He is, if anyone's great on that team, it's him.
James Cook is the reason that Buffalo stayed alive in that game early to make it a game late, because James Cook was a dog. That was the dude that I circled and said, if they're going to win, it's because of him. And yet, when James Cook got hot last night, they started going away from him. They started getting scared of whatever it was. I genuinely don't understand a solid chunk of the play calls of the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator and staff last night. Everything that started to work, they got scared. If we came into this game, and I would have said, going into this game, you are going to have one of these two teams in the second half that's going to have a lead at one point, and it's then going to get super conservative with the play calling. Based on what we've seen in the regular season, I would have assumed it was Kansas City. But it was the exact opposite. Kansas City was in the bag. Kansas City was going until it was working. And for whatever reason, Buffalo got scared, stopped doing what was working, stopped going to the hot hand, started putting it all on Josh Allen, even when it was very clear that Spags' defense was going to do what Ohio State and Penn State did all through the college football playoffs. We're taking your playmaker away. We're taking your dog away. We're taking your guy away. And if we take your guy away and you don't have the ability to go somewhere else, you're in trouble. That's what they did to Buffalo, and Buffalo just didn't respond to it. Buffalo got their butts whipped by the guys wearing the headsets last night, and they were able to do that because the guys wearing the helmets were just on it. That's all it came down to. All right. We pushed it a little bit there because this Chiefs-Bills game was phenomenal to watch, phenomenal to talk about. Water cooler cheat sheet when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to tell you about the lunchtime destination of the Rob Brown Show. It is Three Friends Bar and Grill in Moonville and in Taylor's. As a matter of fact, I had lunch at their Moonville destination yesterday. Happened to be out that way towards Simpsonville yesterday morning, running a couple of errands, had about an hour and a half to kill. And I said, yo, Three Friends is right here. Let me hit it up. And I'll tell you why. It is because I honestly didn't know what I wanted to eat. You know that spot where you're like, I'm really hungry, but I don't know what I want. And sometimes you don't know what you want till you sit down at the table and you look at the menu. Well, Three Friends is here to help because it doesn't matter what you're in the mood for. Three Friends has got something for you. Maybe you sit down and you're like, you know what? A little pizza. They got some phenomenal flatbreads. Maybe you're like, I don't know what I want. I have a little bit of everything. Their apps menu is spectacular. Maybe you're trying to drop a couple of LBs and you want something nice and tasty, but you want to keep it on the salad side. They have got an incredible list of salads, including my favorite thing on the menu, the Aztec steak salad, a blackened steak on top of a Southwestern style salad. It's fantastic. Maybe it's a little chilly outside. You want some soup. Maybe you want some pasta. Maybe you want some chicken. Doesn't matter. Three Friends has got something for you. And if you're trying to put a lunchtime outing together for the office, but you're like, I don't know, man, I got those picky eaters in the building, Three Friends needs to be where you take them because no matter what you're in the mood for, they've got you covered. And with two locations in Moonville and in Taylor's, it is a fantastic lunchtime option for everybody. And hey, maybe you're into watching some late night NBA basketball. Maybe you're a college basketball fan, want to watch some sports. Three Friends has got TVs all over the wall, a phenomenal craft beer menu, and a full bar. You can't find a better place to watch your sports as well. That is why Three Friends Bar and Grill is the official lunchtime destination of the Rob Brown Show. Check them out online at the number three, threefriendsbar.com. Threefriendsbar.com, or just get in the car at lunchtime and head on over to Moonville or the Public Shopping Center on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor's and enjoy the official lunchtime destination of the Rob Brown Show, Three Friends Bar and Grill. All right, went a little bit long on one topic in that last segment. So what we normally do at 7 o'clock, we now do now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just a tick over a half an hour till you got to get to work. It's Monday. I know you don't want to go. You got a case of the Mondays. You want to walk down the hallway. You want to talk some sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you got to have this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. An abbreviated speed run edition of the water cooler cheat sheet starts with item number one. It happened again. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs eliminate the Buffalo Bills from AFC playoff contention and punch their ticket to the big game, TM. 32-29, your final score last night. Look, it was about as good of a game as you would have expected, about as good of a game as you would have asked for. Josh Allen and the Bills had an opportunity late in the game, about a buck and a half left to play with the football, driving down three, a chance to get the tie or the go-ahead score. And instead, Steve Spagnuolo's defense was just all over Josh Allen, like stink on poop, as the old expression goes. And wouldn't let him get comfortable. Allen didn't have a bad night. 22 of 34, 237, two touchdowns. In fact, was right there in the wheelhouse with Patrick Mahomes. 18 of 26 for 245 and a touch on the ground. The Bills actually outgained Kansas City, 147 to 135. But Kansas City punched it in three times. Mahomes had two running scores and Kareem Hunt had one as well. 85 yards for Xavier Worthy, 60 for Juju Smith-Schuster for the Kansas City Chiefs. And as far as team stats go, again, with a couple of major exceptions, pretty similar. But it was, to me, the stat that jumped off the page the most at me,
The Kansas City Chiefs, 5 of 9, about 56% on third downs. Josh Allen, the Bills, 5 of 14 on third down. If you can't move the sticks on third down, you can't win the football game. That's all there is to it. 55-23, the Philadelphia Eagles end the dream of the upstart Washington Commanders. Again, not a bad day for Jaden Daniels in this one. 29 of 48, 255, a tutty and a pick, but Washington really struggling to run the football. Jaden had 48 yards on the ground. He was your leading rusher for the Washington Commanders. Also had more than right at half of the rushing yards for the team. No other Commander had more than 36 yards. That was Brian Robinson Jr. Of course, Saquon Barkley was a dog. 15 carries, a buck 18, and 3 of Philadelphia's, this is not a verbal typo, 7 rushing touchdowns. He had 3, Jalen had 3, and former Clemson Tiger Will Shipley scored late in this one for the Eagles. He had 4 carries for 77 yards, including a 57-yard rip that effectively, not that the dagger already wasn't sunk with Philly putting up 21 points in the fourth quarter. And but the dagger.
That team was so excited for him after he scored that touchdown.
Yeah, he got the...
He saw Saquon ran out there to him and everything.
He did.
I'm curious, though, who do Clemson fans root for? Because you got Nuke Hopkins with the Chiefs, and you got Will Shipley with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I think you root for your boys, right? I think it's one of those spots. It's kind of like when you got two sons on two teams playing each other. You're not rooting for a team. You're rooting for the fellas. Shipley was, you could tell how much Will Shipley was a soul guy for that team last night. Not only did Saquon Barkley run out there to Selly the tutty with him, in the postgame, Saquon was getting interviewed after the game was over by Aaron Andrews, and he shouted out Will Shipley by name in the postgame. That was fantastic, too. Philly will represent the NFC, Kansas City, the AFC, in the big game TM coming up down in New Orleans. Let's jump to item number 2. Ohio State defensive coordinator Jim Knowles is Ohio State defensive coordinator Nomas as he is headed over to a conference rival. Jim Knowles finalizing a deal to replace Tom Allen, the new Clemson DC, who left Penn State for the same job. Jim Knowles will leave the Buckeyes. I mean, Ohio State fans should be alarmed. Jim Knowles led that team to be the number one defense in football this year and now moves over to Penn State, a 3-year deal that will average $3.1 million per season. He will not only become the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football, he is also believed, though we do not get all of the salaries from private institutions, he is believed to be the first coordinator in football to have a base salary of at least $3.3 million. He made a $2.2 million base last year. His compensation did threaten $3 million with incentives after the Buckeyes got to and won the national championship at the end of the year. He will now have a guaranteed $3 million in the bank at the conclusion of next year. James Franklin ups his coordinator game by taking away Ryan Days.
I should be mad, but go get your money, dude. How can you be mad about that? That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I just like to point out, and I'm not saying that this is true about Zoe, but I am saying it's true about a lot of y'all. Funny how a coordinator gets to just bail on his team and go get $3 million, and everybody's like, yeah, that boy, go get that money. But when a player does it, shenanigans.
I wouldn't say everybody. There's a lot of Ohio State fans pretty angry over it.
Sure.
So,
yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you know.
Sure, sure. Point stands, point stands. All right, very quickly, let's get to item number 3. The Carolina Hurricanes on Friday rocked the National Hockey League by not only sending away one of their established fan favorites in Marty Natchez, they also ended up rocking the league by trading him to bring in star winger Mikko Rantanen. This was a huge coup for the Carolina Hurricanes as they grabbed one of the best players in the National Hockey League to come over and join the team in Raleigh. But it was also a very interesting move because Mikko Rantanen is on the final year of his contract and is slated at the end of this year to become an unrestricted free agent, meaning that the Canes, if they cannot get him re-signed, would have sent away a longtime producer and fan favorite in Marty Natchez in order to bring in a great rental player for a year. But that's not the news. The news is that yesterday, their GM Eric Tolsky came out and said that the Canes have the desire and they believe they have the financial flexibility to give Rantanen the massive contract that he is seeking before unrestricted free agency ends up getting here. The 28-year-old had contract demands that created a significant impact with the Avalanche. He had been with the Avs for 10 years, was a fan favorite out there as well. But when it came down to it, the Avs said, look, we just don't have the money to give you a blockbuster deal and put anybody around you. So they decided to go ahead and make the trade, bring Marty Natchez over, who, by the way, in his first game as an Avalanche, did have 2 points in an OT win. Carolina Hurricanes rolling the dice on this. If they are able to sign this cat to a long-term deal, this could end up being the move that takes the Canes from being a perennial conference contender to being a consistent Stanley Cup threat. But he wants a massive contract. Will they have that much room? Tolsky estimated the team is looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $38 million in cap space. And per CBA rules, the Canes would be the only team in the league that are able to give Rantanen an 8-year contract, which may make him a little bit more attractive to the squad. There is also one more factor that the Hurricanes put into play, and that is that Rantanen is big on being with the boys. Sebastian Aho is a fellow Finn, and he likes being with the boys. So they are going to let Aho be recruiter number one to keep Rantanen in the building. They are also going to likely go ahead and make that offer of the 8-year blockbuster contract, which would lock up one of the 6 or 7 best players in the NHL onto the Hurricanes roster for a very long time. Ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down football season, 2 weeks until the big game TM, we're going to start getting a little hockey. We're going to get a little college basketball on the show. The Clemson Tigers, quietly a very much contender in the ACC. On the flip side, South Carolina can't win a conference game. There's a reason for that. We'll talk some basketball later in the show. We'll keep going with football and more. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate breaking down yesterday's AFC and NFC championship games. The Philadelphia Eagles put a 55 spot up on the Washington Commanders. We've spent quite a bit of time, obviously, talking Chiefs and Bills as that was the marquee matchup of the weekend. Look, My thought on the NFC Championship was that this is going to go one of two ways. The Commanders are going to prove that they are legitimate. It is not a narrative. It is actually a good football team. And I do think they are a good football team. I think they were a good football team. And last night it got proved that they were punching above their weight class. That's just all there was to it. They were punching above their weight class last night. They were punching above their weight class all year, and they just kept landing blows. But at some point, and this is something that a lot of teams have to learn, if you are leaning solely on a quarterback, that's going to bite you. The reason the Chiefs have been so good for so long is that even though they have a starting quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that can be leaned on, if you solely lean on that guy, you're not going to get anywhere. There's some good players in Washington. Dan Quinn had some really good players on that football team. Terry McLaurin has had a breakout
year.
By
the way, that was the key. That's they shut McLaurin down.
For sure.
And he was that offense, especially in the playoffs, for Washington. And when they shut him down, they didn't really have Zach Ertz had a great game. But as I think I saw earlier, he wishes he was 22 again because he's an older guy. But Zach Ertz was like the only receiver they had other than McLaurin.
With very few exceptions, if your best receiver's game is a tight end, unless you have a Kittle, unless you have a Kelsey, and Zach Ertz is very good. I don't know, very good. I don't know that I put him in the conversation with Kittle and Kelsey as like, if this guy has a big game, you've got a chance. Zach Ertz is very good. But if Zach Ertz is the only guy, McLaurin had three grabs. De'Ami Brown, and keep in mind, go back to that Detroit game. Coming into that game, one of the big storylines about Washington v. Detroit was that Amon-Ra St. Brown had said coming into that game that, you know, he was keeping the list and De'Ami Brown was on the list of guys that were drafted before him that he wanted to prove he was better than. And he kind of not like openly disrespected De'Ami Brown, but did a little bit. And De'Ami Brown went into that game and had a massive game. De'Ami Brown in this one had three snags for 42 yards, 24 of that all on one catch. McLaurin had 51 yards, 36 of that came on one catch. Zach Ertz had 11 snags. If you show me a game in which a tight end, and I include Travis Kelce in this, I include George Kittle in this, I include the best pass-catching tight ends in the NFL. If you show me a game where a tight end has 11 catches to lead the team in snags, I'm a bet that team lost way more often than they won. I'm going to assume that's the case because what that's telling me is the defense on the other side of the football said, we believe that if we take away the easy wide receiver stuff on the outside, if we just throw some dudes into that defensive backfield and take that away, we don't think you can run the ball and win. Well, if I see a tight end has 11 snags, I'm going instantly to look at the rushing numbers. The Commanders had 99 rushing yards and one touchdown. 48 and that tutty came from Jaden Daniels. Another thing, even if you have a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, hell, if you have a Michael Vick, if your quarterback leads in rushing yards and it's not like 100 yards or more, you probably lost that game. And here we are. 48 yards led the Commanders' rushing total of 99. It kind of is what it is in that spot, right? All the NFC title game came down to me was this. Philadelphia was bigger, stronger, had more players, and was just able to do and take what they wanted from the Commanders. The Commanders just didn't have the talent on that side of the ball. I think the Commanders are a team that had and showed a lot of heart. I think they are to be commended for the season that they had. But I said this back in hour number one, and I'll say it again now. I don't think, usually when a team goes in there and they have a game like this, one of the catchphrases that we will say the next day is, oh, this team's still a year away. I think the Commanders might be 2 years away. I think they outplayed quite a bit. I think they caught a bunch of teams by surprise, including Detroit last week on the road. I think the tape is now out. That is not me saying I think Jaden Daniels is going to have like a historic sophomore slump, but I think he comes back to the pack a little bit. That's from maybe the biggest Jaden Daniels guy in radio. I think he's going to come back to the pack a little bit. I think the Commanders.
There's no maybe there, by the way.
So, well, I mean, there is a maybe. He could come out next year and shock the world.
No, I mean, you are the biggest Jaden fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. For sure. He made me a lot of money this year.
All those other things you're right about.
I think this team, it was proven yesterday. I think this team is 2 years out. I think in 2 years, they are going to be an absolute bunch of studs if they can get some guys to stick around. But I think they need probably two good draft classes where they come up with like three or four starters. I think they need a massive free agency class down the line. I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, they've got the money to spend. They've got an ownership group who in 1 year proved that they are not only more willing to, but they will be more successfully able to invest and spend money than the previous ownership. I laughed my ass off, dude, because I was doing the Saturday show. Jake Hassan was in for Cody Decker, and we were talking about at one point, because as we do a national show, we're obviously obligated to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. That's in the secret group text we get every morning. We were talking about the fact. Yeah,
thank you for the smile.
You're welcome. We were talking about the fact that Jerry Jones decided to promote their offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer to HC. This is a cat who has been historically bounce around the league, unable to consistently maintain a role on anybody's coaching staff. And again, a lot of that has to do with, you know, coaching staff turnover. Anytime there's a head coaching change, ordinarily everybody on the staff's out, so the new guy can bring in whoever he wants in, whatever. But he is known, since he showed up in Dallas, to be another JJ yes man. And like I talked about on Friday, I was kind of making the joke that when JJ hires another yes man to be the HC in the Big D, Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel becomes must-listen radio, because I think Cole may have a full-on anxiety attack on the air. He may have a full mental breakdown on the air. And I talked to Cole on Saturday just because I was curious about it, and he is, and he does. And Wire to Wire today from 3 to 7 is must-listen radio, like I said it would be. But we were having this conversation about how having ownership that is invested in the franchise but not invested in the football team, is invested in spending the money and entrusting the people he puts into football or she puts into football positions to consistently make good decisions and being able to recognize when they're not and make the moves to change the fact that they are not, it's the first thing I'm looking for. You can say that that is true about the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to Super Bowl two in 3 years. You can say that that is true about the Kansas City Chiefs. They are going to Super Bowl, what is it, four in 5 years, and on the verge of having the first three-peat in NFL history. You can say that about teams that are consistently at the top of the game, and you can say the opposite about teams that are consistently at the bottom. I said on that show, as I was B-slapping my own team, I have an owner that is the antithesis of Jerry Jones. I have an owner that is completely divested from the franchise and the product. My owner just wants to be able to say she's an owner. My owner just wants to be able to be out there in New Orleans high society and be a respected member of the New Orleans social community. Because she's a billionaire who has the ownership of an NFL team. She doesn't care what's happening in that building. She's going to let Mickey Loomis continue to do stuff. Do you know who, after we lost out on Aaron Glenn, who is now the head coach with the Jets, we were going after Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Bills. He just said flat out on Friday or on Saturday, no, I'm out. I don't want that job. The assumption around the league right now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe it is because I blame most of our problems on it, is that he just didn't want to work with general manager Mickey Loomis. There's reports all over the place that the Saints are the last team to hire a head coach because nobody wants to work with Mickey Loomis right now. And has Gail Benson stepped in and made a change? Has she done anything? No. No, but she's damn sure at all these late night black tie philanthropic events showing off, right? Divested from the program. That's a problem. I look at the Washington Commanders and I say they got rid of an owner who wanted to own the team to A, profit off of it, and B, just be able to do whatever he wanted in his life, because everybody says that's an NFL owner. Don't look Mr. Snyder in the eyes. Right? He gets out of the way. Josh Harris and Magic Johnson come in. And would you look at that? They spent some money. They let a general manager run the draft class. And just like that, the Washington Commanders are there. The problem is that Dan Snyder, in control of that franchise for 24 years or whatever it was, by being Dan Snyder, put that program so far behind the eight ball, I think it's going to take him 2 years to dig out, not one. I think they'll be back as a playoff team next year. Hell, I think that they'll probably be a wild card team again, because I don't think Philly's going anywhere, though I could be wrong. We'll find out what the offseason looks like for Philadelphia, because, you know, you make a run like this, teams start to be willing to pay to pick off your guys. But that's what happens with ownership who is invested in the franchise, but allow football people to make the football decisions around the front office. So I like this Commanders team a lot. I think any team that gets to 12-5 on the regular season should be commended, and they should be commended. I think that they decided to roll with the quarterback that I told all of you going into the draft was going to be the best quarterback in this draft, Jaden Daniels. That proved out. But at the end of the day, when you look at it roster to roster, Philadelphia's just better. They're just better. I don't think that there is a position on the football field right now that I would say the Commanders are better than the Eagles or the Chiefs, frankly, maybe, or the Bills. I think you can say Jaden Daniels is the best rookie. Would I say Jaden Daniels is definitively better than Jalen Hurts right now? I can't say yes to that. Jalen Hurts yesterday, 246 and a touchdown, and never got out of control with the football. Never looked like he was going to be a problem for this football team. Would you say that they are better at the running back? Not after yesterday. Obviously not with Saquon Barkley. But even if we took Barkley away, I don't know if I can say that. Would you say they're better at any one spot? Somebody pointed out, and I think this is fair, A.J. Brown, and this is to kind of just give you a mindset of what I saw out of the Commanders yesterday. A.J. Brown, if I flipped him over and put him on the Washington Commanders squad, A.J. Brown looks like a tight end over there, right? I mean, he's like 6'2", 225. He's not a monster, but he's a big dude. A.J. Brown would without a doubt be one of the best players on the Commanders roster. He's a good player on the Eagles roster. You know, Dallas Goedert, I think I would be comfortable, even though the numbers didn't. Dallas Goedert had 7 grabs for 85 yards yesterday. I'd put him on par with, if not better than, Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz was the best thing the Commanders had to work with yesterday. When you look at this Eagles team, they're just loaded, and the Commanders still feel like they are some time away from being like big dog competitive. I think they are absolutely competitive in the NFC. I think they will absolutely be back in the playoffs next year. I think there's even the chance that they could throw another upset onto the board next year, but it would be an upset. The Eagles are just bigger, badder, tougher than the Commanders were. Here's my question, and I'll say this. If you'd have said this 2 years ago, I think I would have probably said you're kind of crazy. But, Lonzo, my favorite thing about this Super Bowl is that this is, even though it may not feel like it, at least not just by looking at it on paper, this Super Bowl is just going to be two teams slugging it out. It's just two teams beating the hell out of each other for 4 quarters.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And I think there's very little, outside of Xavier Worthy, there's very little finesse between these two teams anymore.
This is the matchup where you think it's going to be very low scoring, like 10-7 or something like that. Watch it end up being like in the 60s or something. Be the exact opposite of what we think it will
be. I mean, listen, I think it could be a very physical game and still get there, right? Still, it was a very physical game between Washington and Philly yesterday. It was just that Philly was the more physical, clearly the stronger team, right? They were just using big dudes to run over slightly less bigger dudes. That game plan, I don't know that it can be successful against Kansas City because they got just as big of dudes across the DL this year. I noticed this about halfway through the first quarter. Kansas City's defensive backfield, they hit like linebackers. They don't open field tackle with the like grab and fall method. They tackle like linebackers.
You know, and I think a part of that is because not only are they good covers, but I think they draft guys or they bring in guys who like the blitz because they blitz those guys all the time. You can't blitz and not like the hit.
Yeah, they blitz a lot. Good blitz rate. Even if you do get the ball out of the blitz, how many plays did we see last night where, you know, Allen completes a pass for 8, 9, 10 yards down the field and a wide receiver turns and he just gets hit, not dragged down, not ankle tackled, not wrapped up around the line. I mean, popped to the point that I think guys started turning their head before they caught the ball. It creates some problems down the football field. This Super Bowl is going to be, I think, wildly physical, and I don't know if it is who has the edge in that. I know who has the edge when it comes to finding out all the most important sports news and information. It's you, because Lonzo does a sports.
Wow, that was amazing.
Sports flash.
By the way, I don't have the edge, and don't call me Cope. The AFC will be represented by Kansas City after they eliminated Buffalo once again, 32-29. Poor Josh. The two teams were statistically close, with Mahomes throwing for 245 and a touchdown, and Allen 237 and two touchdowns. Guess who wrote this? The Chiefs ran for 135 and three touchdowns. The Bills 147 and two touchdowns. Both teams had two sacks, but Kansas City held Buffalo to 5-14 on third downs. And a stat that Rob forgot: Mahomes ran for two touchdowns. After defensive coordinator Tom Allen left Penn State to take over the same job at Clemson, the Nittany Lions signed Jim Knowles away from Ohio State to take the job and did so. He gets $3.1 million. Good for him. Tune in Wednesday at 5:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Sanford Bulldogs. Furman versus Sanford, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.